Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. 2 months after coming on Smart TV Gadgets, how is For Us by Us Network doing? Co-founders J. Alexander Martin and Roberto Rush Evans will detail when they join me next. Max Youngsters with a family member to perform with $100,000 at stake. What do you get? Come Dance With Me, beginning tomorrow night on CBS. Follow along with executive producer Reinhard Ollermann's next half hour. Before we go, two of the best journalists on the TV trail come together to co-write Binge Times. You'll hear John Jamaluski and Dade Hayes during our final 30 minutes. Also ahead, New Fronts Rundown 2022 and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, Reason, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Can you believe it? 84 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. On this special Thursday afternoon, we welcome you to the program about TV's current and future. We've got a big 90 minutes in store for you, a lot of great guests, and we invite you to interact with all of them. Just pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use the chat room. It's open and available for you right now. SimonApple04 is the name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker tune and screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Our pair of co-founders from For Us, By Us Network will join us live from New York and New Jersey after these news notes. Key smart TV set and device makers, along with mega content services and bundles, will be making plenty of news about their future undertakings the first full week of May. That's when the annual Digital Content New Fronts will happen, sponsored by the Interactive Advertising Bureau. The first 3 days of the week will take place at various New York City venues, with the fourth and final day a mix of live and tape virtual showcases. Opening day presenters May 2nd are Peacock, Vizio, Tubi, and Amazon, with Samsung and Roku on deck for day two. The all virtual participants include Fubo TV, Crackle and Spanish Language Ventures, Estrella Media, and Canela Media. Now a trio of quickies. Season 2 of HBO Max's Emmy-winning comedy Hack starring Gene Smart begins May 12th. Snoop Dogg will host Peacock's new dysfunctional crime video program, So Dumb, It's Criminal. First episode premieres April 20th. And Jeopardy has agreed to have Michael Davies be executive producer full-time from interim. That decision earlier today. And that's news notes for today. 2 months ago, another network premiered on smart TV sets and devices all over the place. It's called For Us, By Us, and it features African-American series, movie, and specials creators. Well, joining us live right now in a New York-New Jersey connection are the two people who co-founded the service and put it on 2 months ago. First up, here in New York, joining me, the co-founder and chief executive of the service, J. Alexander Martin. J. Alexander, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And joining us from across the Hudson in New Jersey, the president as well as co-founder, Roberto Rush Evans. Rush, welcome in.
Hello, how you doing, sir? Nice to meet you.
Very, very fine, thank you. Same here. J. Alexander, we'll start with you. How's it been going the first 2 months of your network on the air?
Oh, it's been phenomenal. The experience of launching this thing has been one of the best things of my life, next to starting Fubo.
And Rush, tell us about how this network started. What is this service designed to do?
You know, we started it because obviously there's a need for black content creators. Sometimes, I'm a creator, so I like sci-fi movies. But sometimes in an urban city, it's not that much relatable to the people who build content, and it's a little unrealistic. So having a voice to be able to share a platform and build content with relatable stories that resonate with our culture, it's something that I think that was needed. And me and Jay Alexander, we put our heads together in a think tank. You know, obviously he built a big brand, Fubo, and the need and the want for black content storytellers were out there. They just didn't have that platform to showcase the talent. So obviously the genius of Jay, and we got together We just decided to kind of expand on what they already built the culture on, which is 30 years in the making, coming up on the anniversary for FUBU. Congratulations, Jay. but it definitely was a platform to build something that allows us to have a voice and give the story that's not out there and offensive.
Jay Alexander, you've been an entrepreneur not only in the TV world with FUBU, but also before that, the fashion industry. And in a press release, your quote is saying that you've gained along the way a deep comprehension, a very deep comprehension and awareness about the urban consumer and what appeals to them in the form of not only fashion, but entertainment, unquote. What does the urban consumer want, and how does For Us, By Us satisfy them?
Well, again, you know, our mantra from day one with FUBU was, you know, and our demo was 5 to 55, and basically understanding and knowing what who the customer is, because we are the customer. So innately, we know exactly what, you know, each of us want. And there's a lot of things in life, you know, if you're, you know, African American, that you'll do that, you know, maybe some other group of nationality would not do. And most people wouldn't understand that in that case. We understand that innately because we are the customer. And with that, we've always been able to just know exactly what it is because we wake up and live it every day.
Rush, how long has this network been in development for? How did you two come together?
Man, we came together by a mutual party, and, you know, they introduced one another. And when we got together, it was just love at first sight. We started to bond on just the realistic points of view of content and what the narrative will be if we put it out there. And it's our brainchild. You know, Jay has started FUBU TV a ways back, a couple of years. And, you know, when we got together, I had a production company, and we just said, look, let's form together. And this is maybe, I guess, I'll say 9 years in the making of seeing the market, seeing where the market shifts, seeing where the eyeballs is, the whole on-demand, the streaming, learning it more and intelligently, and learning the landscape. That was the most important part, is learning the landscape and where the eyes is going. And then, you know, one thing led to another. It wasn't easy to build. As you know, this is not an easy thing, building content and getting advertisers on board and getting the right content creators. It took a while to put all the recipes together and come up with something that we think the culture and the people out there would definitely, you know, like and love and become part of the culture of today.
Mm-hmm. Jay Alexander, what was the relatively easy part of putting this together, and what was the toughest?
I think I'd say the relatively easy part is, that's a really hard question, because again, you know, how we've done things is we've basically put out content, right, in which we didn't have an actual platform for it. We just did it out, put out shows on Instagram and social media, things like that. So people always thought that we had something bigger than what we already had. And then instantly, when we finally got together and then got the funding, I think let's just say the easiest part was actually creating the actual content. That's the most easiest part of it, because we always basically know what people want. But I think the hardest part is probably maybe doing the platforms, putting the platforms together, going through the motions of creating the platforms. I'll just leave it at that.
Absolutely.
Hearing Jay Alexander Martin and Roberto Rush Evans, they are the two people behind For Us, By Us. The network is currently available on smart TV sets and devices like Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, other places as well. Jay Alexander is with me here in New York. Rush is with us live from New Jersey, and they're both with us this half hour right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised on a special 90-minute Thursday edition. Happy you're along for the ride, too. Simon Abbott, I'm with you from NYC, where it is 84 degrees at the top of the hour. We are supposed to get some thunder showers and rain in the next few hours, and then hopefully a great Good Friday and Passover Easter weekend ahead. If you have a question or comment for our guests, as well as other people coming down the pike in the next hour or so, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We will be with you tomorrow on Good Friday at a special time. Take down the note, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. That's 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific time. You'll meet a pair of Davids who that day are going to be launching a new movie, the latest original movie on Fox's multi-channel bundle Tubi. It's called Titanic 666. They're from the Asylum, the people behind the Sharknado movies and Z Nation on Sci-Fi. The Davids I'm talking about are executive producer David Mowally and producer David Michael Lapp. In Titanic 666, it's all about, yes, the new contemporary version of that famous luxury liner, but no iceberg is the problem this time. It's something even more sinister. Titanic 666 premieres tomorrow on Tubi, the Fox multi-channel bundle available on smart TV sets and devices, and our pair of Davids will join us live on Friday's Good Friday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Don't forget the special time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Central, right here on TWBT. Roberto, talk about the original content that you're running. How much is scripted and how much is unscripted?
Well, right now we have a very extensive catalog. We have several programs right now that we're producing that's unscripted. We have a ton of great scripted programming in production. We have about four scripted programming running concurrent in Atlanta right now. We have some in we're about to start a production now, a scripted program in New Jersey, one or two in L.A. So we have them all over right now. And right now we launched the programming with Saucy Santana. He is a groundbreaking TikTok sensation with millions and millions and millions and millions of fans. And he's on tour currently with Latto, and they're just beaming up the music charts right now. We thought the day in the life of telling the story is called The Making of Saucy Santana. And just the intricate details of how the conduit between the artist and manager relationships and building his team out and being on his fast track of being a superstar, we just thought, building a final look into the life in the day will be something interesting that the culture would definitely love to look into. But we definitely have a lot of different unscripted programming that we're producing right now, and it's definitely coming down the pipeline within the next month or two. And we definitely think that is something that the culture will definitely eat up.
Before I continue with what's in development, I understand that Kim Fields, the former co-star of Facts of Life and Living Single, that she has directed one, I think it's an original movie that you're running, but is she going to be doing more work for you?
So right now, yes. I know the movie is, the script of the show is called Vicious, and it's starring Tammy Roman. And, yes, that is absolutely done now. It's in pre-pod right now. And it's a great series about a young lady. She's in the fashion business. And, going through the fashion business, she's alongside her husband, who they built the company together. And they're going through the trials and tribulation and having a startup company making millions of dollars and the fast life. The superstardom success of something growing that fast brings a lot of hardships, brings a lot of infidelity, brings a lot of drama. And that's something I think the coach is definitely eat up to. It's very high paid.
And what about development? What can we look forward to? Are you getting a lot of proposals from independent African-American talent, as well as, let's say, people who are of late forming their own production companies, or even from some of the major studios or major production companies looking to perhaps do work with you?
Jay, you can jump in here.
Yeah, yes, definitely. We have other companies that are coming at us with, as far as giving us content as well. And we also do content deals with other agencies and things like that. So, yeah, you definitely have that. We always look to share content. That's just how you kind of have to do it. We actually, in a production deal, we do some stuff with Fox Soul and the like. So, yes, definitely.
What are you doing with Fox Soul? We've covered them quite a bit. They've been around now for about two and a half years. What kind of deals are you doing with them?
So we have a development deal with them regarding a show called a cooking show with Charles Oakley, and we have a couple of other shows that we have in the making with them.
And for those who don't know,
actually
just to fill in, Charles Oakley, of course, the former
Fox
New York
So Mr. Super Nick, Charles Oakley, from the Knicks, yes.
Yeah, definitely one of the greats. I understand that this service is both a service where some of the content is available free with advertised support, and some of it is subscription. Explain what how the viewer relates to the service in terms of what is subscription, what is free, how do you, and how do you explain it to your viewers?
So, you know, one of the ways, you know, SVOD and AVOD, we are hybrid streaming platform. And what that means is, you know, it's almost like Spotify, right? You know, some of the content, you know, is premium, and some of them we're going to let, depending on the titles, we'll let it be on the AVOD side that, you know, it will be a free service for people to watch content and enjoy it while not paying a monthly subscription. But on the flip side, some of that same premium content will be living on AVOD, and if you don't want to, you know, pay, you'll get advertising, and if you don't mind the advertising, then it's cool. So we kind of just made it sure that all the users, we didn't want to be an SVOD and kind of, you know, have it not in some end users be able to kind of watch the programming because they didn't want to pay. So we kind of wanted to have your choice. You either watch it, it's almost like a Spotify, you know, with ads in between the music, or which one do you want? You want the premium or you want it free? It's really your choice, whatever your pocket can handle. But we didn't want to alienate anyone from watching the content.
And I might add, we also have a linear portion, which we will launch out within the next month.
Yes, a live linear.
And how is the situation with advertisers? What kind of reaction are you getting from them?
Oh, we have a great reaction with advertisers. We deal with quite a few, to name it. And it was phenomenal because I think when they look at us, they look at us as a group that can give us exactly targeted ads, exactly targeted people, exactly who what they want. African American community. If you come to us, you know exactly what you're getting.
Jay Alexander, we are seeing a lot of African American media entrepreneurs really come out of the woodwork and try to, with the fact we have these smart TV sets and smart devices and multi-channel bundles now all over the place, almost universal carriage among television households, that we're seeing this incredible surge of activity, whether it's from Byron Allen and his Allen Media Group and his effort at Black Media Upfronts, Urban Edge Networks, which is trying to put together a bunch of services. We had Todd Brown, the person behind that, on our show Monday. There's Group Black, which showcased itself at the Magna Equity Upfront event here in New York. Apparently, they're not only trying to work with networks, they're even trying to maybe fund them as a venture capitalist. What's your sense of the marketplace? And if we are seeing this surge of African-American black-owned media companies do television networks, how do you try to distinguish yourself, promote yourself, so that you can have the most successful venture possible?
Well, again, social media, of course, right now is the wave in which, you know, you're definitely going to get the word out. And that's where all the voices are going to be heard. A lot of these blog sites as well are where you definitely get the word out. You know, we do traditional Facebook and ads and things of that nature, but I think the bulk of it comes from, you know, just the social media with IG. And we also, just to add, you mentioned Group Black, we're actually in contract to deal with them as well.
And to add on,
we are talking with the two co-founders of For Us, By Us Network, which is now in its second month on smart TV sets and smart TV devices from Apple TV to Roku. We're talking with co-founder and chief executive Jay Alexander Martin. He joins me here in New York. He's a former co-founder of Fubo TV, as well as a lot of very exciting things in the world of fashion. And we're also talking with co-founder and president Roberto Rush Evans. He's in New Jersey. They're both with us live this half hour here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this special 90-minute business edition of the program about TV's current and future. If you have a question or comment or both of them in our remaining minutes with them, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, one of our guests is the co-founder and chief operating officer of another multi-channel bundle that's making waves. It's called Frndly TV, and they now have more than 30 channels with a lot of very nice players and maybe more, and maybe original programming on the way. We'll talk to co-founder and chief operating officer Andy Karofsky. That's coming up Monday, Frndly TV, right here, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, on Tomorrow Be Televised. Remember, we're on Good Friday. That's tomorrow. special time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 Pacific, half-hour edition with the folks behind the brand-new To The Original movie that premieres tomorrow, Titanic 666. Roberto, aside from social media and being on this program, how are you getting your team getting the word out about what you're doing? Are there any sort of partnerships you're creating to try to get the word out as far and wide as you can?
So one of the things are we deal with a lot of subculture creators, people that have a following and a huge following with their own audience. This is a niche market now. You know, if you can have a tailor-made audience that kind of look at the kind of material and the things that you're doing, and you could build in a home and a fan base, you have an audience. That audience is going to double and triple by spreading the word. And a lot of our things have been word-based. We haven't really did any marketing yet until our second phase of the platform. Everything's been word of the mouth. We've been looking at the culture and seeing where all of the great talent is. And those guys got huge following on social media, huge following. And we built things around those guys. And their audience eat it up. And we just kind of build off of that kind of that principle of helping telling those stories while looking for unique pieces, while creating a lane of people that will follow the top. I like to say, we're not looking for shows. We're looking to build talented people. That's what we like to do.
With that in mind, Jay Alexander, are you looking to find talent from the social media world, whether it is Twitter, Facebook, or Meta, Instagram, WhatsApp, TikTok, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera?
Along that avenue, because again, you know, those people have a great following, and with that, they just with them having a show, it just brings them and gives them more awareness as well. Off those great guys and pick those guys off and create stuff right around them, because they're a talent in their own, and their big personalities. It's easy to do, especially reality shows.
Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rush.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm saying absolutely.
Jay Alexander, as an entrepreneur, who in your field inspires you? Do you model yourself or how you do business after an entrepreneur that's like a role model?
Actually, no, I actually do not. I do not have role models and things like that. I mean, I created, you know, something that's outlasted 30 years this year. And I think if I'm going to say I have to have a role model, it'll probably be my partners who kind of inspire each other. We probably inspire each other to kind of keep going and keep getting better. So that's what I'd have to say. I wouldn't say anyone else except my own group.
Mm-hmm. Roberto, Rush, how do you size up this growing diverse marketplace of content, of programming? Not only African Americans, but also Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans, gay, lesbian, transgender community, Muslim American, and so on and so forth. It seems that we're seeing more and more original programming of all different shapes and sizes, scripted and unscripted, from them, from all of these different groups.
I'm glad you asked that question, because it's a question that I think is out there that, you know, people wondering where this sudden boom came from. And it's not, you know, it's not a sudden boom. It's just that, you know, the voices was never heard. So I can say having a K-pop, I'll relate it to like this. So imagine a K-pop group and me going to China or somewhere in Japan and saying, hey, guys, I want to create a show about a K-pop group, a music group. You know, they will look at me like I don't know the culture. So it's kind of hard for me to tell them what I think about K-pop groups and not come from the culture of where it was breeded from. So it's the same as all of the people with the voices that's out there that's got these stories to tell. It's hard to go to NBC or CBS and explain to the executives, hey, why we want to do this show about K-pop, or hey, why we want to do this show about, you know, sneaker culture. These subculture places of content creators are now having a vehicle to to express those things and say, hey, there's a lot of us out here telling these stories, but, you know, the bigger companies, they might not see the importance of the subculture big expansion of these content creators because it's not something of, you know, Grey's Anatomy or something that goes along with traditional linear television. Now we have a voice to express subculture content, and that is a boom in an untapped market that most people don't realize. Now they're seeing the explosion of it. So it's going to be a lot more coming because there's a lot more vehicles, and technology allows everybody to have a voice now.
For both of you, and we'll wrap the conversation on this, when you celebrate your first anniversary next February or your fifth anniversary in 2027, where do you want to be with this service?
Oh, man, I think I'll say this. Netflix has, what, 34% of the market? If I could take that 34%, I'd be happy.
And you know, I would say, you know, I definitely want to be a reference point. I do want someone to look at us as a reference to what good standard content is. And when they're in the market, I would feel great. I would love, this is what I really would want a year from now. I would love for it to be a content market where when they think of shooting a pilot, a sizzle, or looking to sell a project, they consider Netflix, HBO Max, Forrest Buyers Network. I want to be in one of those conversations or topics where we're just one of the pieces that an agent is stopping by to go pitch their content. That's when I know that we're a household name. That's when I know we made a difference, and that's when I know we're on the right trajectory.
And we will leave the conversation there. Again, the name of the service is For Us, By Us. It is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, available nationwide all over the place. For more details about the network online, here's where you go, www.forusbyusnetwork.com. That's www.forusbyusnetwork, that's all one phrase, .com. www.forusbyusnetwork.com. The service now getting ready to kick off its third month. J. Alexander Martin, Roberto Rush Evans, thank you both very, very much for joining us. Congratulations on getting the service off the ground. By the way, as time goes on, we would love to have your series creators on our program. Please give them an open invite from us, and it's been a pleasure to have you both on. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and hopefully what has happened the first 2 months, just the beginning of what's to come.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. For your time. Thank you.
You're very welcome, J. Alexander and Roberto Rush. Take care. All the greatest.
Take care. Have a good day.
All right. Bye. Happy holidays.
You too. All the greatest. J. Alexander Martin, Roberto Rush Evans joining us from New York and New Jersey, respectively, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. More of our program coming up, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. You know, one of the movies that a lot of people are looking forward to later this year is Where the Crawdads Sing. It's based on the super best-selling novel by Delia Owens. If you haven't seen the book, you can hear it right now, because it's an audiobook form from Audible.com, and that can be yours with a one-month trial run. Don't forget, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital and entertainment information and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from at any given moment, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our podcast affiliates. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, as well as important health and wellness information. If you're an Amazon Prime customer ready, better news. Two books for your trial of one, including one from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking about original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater, great one-woman and one-man shows, and so much more. So how about making Audible.com the place where you can find out how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? All you have to do to listen to the good stuff is just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. 1 month free trial makes a great gift for you or someone you love. Coming up in our next hour, brand new book out called Binge Times. You'll meet the two popular journalists in the world of television responsible for it. And by the way, we're going to offer that later on as a classic trivia question in the coming weeks. But first, tomorrow night, CBS has a brand new competition series with $100,000 at stake. It's called Come Dance With Me. In a moment, you will hear the executive producer, Reinhard Ullmann. We'll talk to him after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Take Two Radio. It happens today on BTR, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Take Two Radio right here on BTR. Don't forget, BTR comes your way as well, 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this 90-minute midweek edition, coming your way on the Thursday before Good Friday and Easter weekend and Passover, too. Tom Abba with you live from the Big Apple, where it is now 83 degrees and still very sunny at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or a comment for our next guest, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, CBS and Paramount Plus, in some markets, is bringing a brand new competition series. It's called Come Dance With Me. The premise is very simple. Young dancers between the age of 9 and 15 get one of their family members to dance challenging routines with them. At stake, $100,000. Joining us live in an interview exclusive, executive producer, Reinhard Ullmann. Reinhard, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Tell us how Come Dance started dancing.
Yeah. Well, it started actually a couple of years ago, and believe it or not, before TikTok was what it is now. So we, around 4 years ago, we had a brainstorm with our company, Three Wolf Productions, here in Los Angeles, and we were going over ideas, and one of the ideas was, you know, if you have a wedding and you see these daughters dancing with their dads, there's so much depth to it, and we started brainstorming and think about it further, and then we came to the concept of daddy dancing, where we have talented dancers pairing up with their parents. And then we basically, that was the idea. We started thinking more about it. And then we thought, yeah, there's really something there.
Mm-hmm. And how did Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J from NCIS Los Angeles, how did they get into the picture?
So what happened is that we made a little sizzle, and Chris O'Donnell is a good friend of mine. And he's got kids, you know, he's a great dad, and we've been talking about ideas, and I sent him the little sizzle and over text, over WhatsApp, and he wrote back. He said, all right, let me take a look at it. I'm on the set of NCIS at the show, so let me first kill some terrorists, and then I'll get back to you. And he calls me back 2 hours later. He said, listen, man, I'm here on the set, and I showed it to Todd, you know, L. Cool J, and Todd loves it. I love it. Let's talk. And basically, that's when we really sat down together and had a deep dive in the creatives. And then we branched out. So it's not only dads. It's moms. It's basically the inspirational adults the kids love. And the adults that do anything for their kids. You know, they go to dance classes 5-6 times a week for hours a day. They drive around, you know, around the country for these competitions. And we thought it was so cool when these kids actually will turn the table and invite their parents to step into their worlds. And basically it starts with the question, will you come dance with me? And that's what really the hook was for Chris and for Todd, who loves it. And obviously Todd, you know, L. Cool J is a very seasoned creative in the sense that he's been behind some of the bigger reality shows as well, like Lip Sync Battle, etc. So he actually knows, you know, where the format beats would be. So it was just an awesome start. We partnered up, you know, we really made the creative into a place where we thought, okay, now it's ready to pitch. And obviously we went to the CBS first, and you know, we were lucky enough that they embraced the idea. And just to go a little bit further, what happened then is that they said, okay, we get it. CBS, great partner, Sharon Vaughn was still there. Mitch Graham and his team, who was running the unscripted division at CBS, they're like, okay, we're going to fund you guys a little bit of casting money, so maybe you can see what kind of stories we would be getting. So we started casting, and when we got the first materials, I mean, it was literally unbelievable of the, you know, the profoundness of the connection between the kids and the adults that we saw in front of our eyes. And I knew right there, right then, we have something really, really special here.
Mm-hmm. And we should point out that we're not talking about, you know, child and father or mother or aunt or uncle, you know, in a wedding dance kind of thing where they're doing a Zorba the Greek dance or, as we say in Judaism, a horror,
no,
or grapevines, as they would call it. We're talking about really, really challenging dance routines, whether it's ballet or musical theater or hip-hop or jazz, because these kids are really, really talented in all sorts of different dance disciplines.
That's absolutely right on. So we, in casting, we were looking for basically the most talented dancers, young kid dancers that do anything to, you know, to what they can do to improve in dancing. They train for hours a day. They're really the best dancers in the country. So we thought that's a great starting point. So we got Nick and RJ involved from the Golden Boys, who is literally maybe the best choreography team in the country, who did, you know, massive acts and Super Bowl and everything. And they know the dance community inside out. So with them, we started casting. With them, we looked at, you know, those kids, basically, because that's where the story starts. And you're totally right. When those kids started dancing, because after the casting, after we showed the casting to CBS, they're like, yep, we got something here. Let's now fund a little bit more money and get a small presentation meets pilot. So what we did then is we cast the three teams, and we made a small pilot. We called it a mini pilot. Well, basically, really to show what those dances would be between the kids and the parents. And you're totally right. These parents go, it's a total fish out of water, because now they have to go and for a deep dive into the dancing and learning techniques and skills, and it's hard work. And now suddenly these kids take over, because the kids are the experts and the professionals, so to speak. So they explain to these parents how to do it, and it's a super interesting way of looking at the relationship between a kid and a parent, because you totally reverse the table. So that was just awesome. And then when we basically, you know, with Nick and RJ, we set the choreography, we basically produce the acts, the dances themselves, and then when the music starts, so L. Cool J was very much involved in the creative of choosing the right songs and the music, you know, the and supervision. And when that all came together, it is not a dance show. It's not something. It's not like, oh, we're looking at some great dances, and one of the partners is awesome, and the other one is not so good. You're looking at a profound connection between a child and the parent through the art form of dance. And if you know the backstory, you know, with the packages we made of how the relationship is, and maybe they've overcome something together as a parent and a child, and you hear the backstory and then the music starts, and then you see the dance, then you realize, wow, this is really, really something special.
Come Dance With Me begins tomorrow night on CBS with a two-hour premiere, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and it will appear, I believe it's going to be, check me out on this, is it going to be running on Friday nights, or is it moving to a different time period?
Friday night, that's our night, Family Viewing, Friday night, CBS.
And at a time period that is available for all the family to see, and you can catch it not only in your local CBS station, it'll also be on live or next day on Paramount Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We have executive producer Reinout Orlemans with us live from, you're calling live from LA, I would guess, right?
Yeah, you're right. We're in Los Angeles.
There we go. And he's with us live from LA this half hour here on Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from the other side of the US of A, Nueva York, where it is now 81 degrees at this very moment. It's been warm all day today, the warmest day of the year by far. We are expecting some showers and rain and thunder showers over the next few hours, and then a gorgeous Good Friday, Easter Passover weekend. However you celebrate, we hope you're going to have a great time. And if you have a question or a comment right now, make a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04.m. In case you just came in, we will be with you on Good Friday with a special half-hour edition at a unique time, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Joining us will be the Davids behind the brand-new Tubi original movie, Titanic 666, which premieres on Tubi, the multi-channel bundle from Fox, on tomorrow. Their executive producer, David Wanawi, producer David Michael Lafter with The Asylum, the folks behind the Sharknado movies and the popular sci-fi Walking Dead-type series, Z Nation, of some time back. They'll be with us again tomorrow, special time, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. And coming up for the top of this hour, we've got a classic trivia question of the week. Stay tuned. You can win three prizes if you know the answer to the question we will be posing. Right now, talk more about the adults. What kind of attitude did they bring to learning the routine with their offspring? Was there a uniform sort of commonality with all these adults, or were you surprised by the different attitudes between one and another?
Great question. The one thing that really struck me is that all these adults are like, all right, I absolutely do this for my child. I know it's going to be very painful. I know I'm going to look not in my best way, but I'm going to do this for my kid. And that was the start of the journey. We have some amazing different cast members, like the drummer of Limp Bizkit, who, says, I'm the drummer. Normally I'm in front of these 40,000 people stadiums and with my band Limp Bizkit, and now I feel totally naked. I'm behind my drums. I'm standing here, but I'm doing this for my daughter because it's her dream to be this wonderful dancer and performer, and she asked me to join her in this, and I'm going to do it. We have a doctor. We have an old Marine Corps veteran. So we have a whole different selection of adults and parents, and they all do it for their child, which makes it super, super cool to look at.
You have three very interesting judges that are going to oversee all of this. You got Janet Dewan, who has the last couple of years was the host on a wonderful series on called World of Dance. She was just in the Derek and Michael Howe special, Step Into the Movies on ABC before the Academy Awards. You've got Dexter Mayfield, who is a celebrity dancer. And you also have a hip-hop choreographer named Trisha Miranda. How'd you bring all three of these together?
Great question. Well, first of all, together with Mitch Graham from CBS and Nick and RJ, who are creative producers, we came to the conclusion that the judges, we really wanted them to be very authentic and real and very knowledgeable in the field of dance. So we didn't want just a celebrity who's great for on television and pops, but doesn't necessarily know a lot about dancing. So that was the start of the journey. And what I'm super happy about is that we cast it and we have, we had the opportunity to work with the people you just mentioned. So they all bring something so different to the table. Obviously, Jenna is a massive celebrity. She's great to work with, super professional. She knows dance. That's her first art form. So whatever she said, it was super credible. And that really helped because these kids, don't forget the kids that we have in our show, they do dancing since they were 3-4 years old. So they go to competitions all over the country. So they know when we have a judge saying something and the kids don't feel it's real or it doesn't resonate. So if you want to have a really, a real competition, we want it to be very credible in the comments we would give. So Jenna brings that, obviously. Trisha Miranda is a massive, iconic figurehead in the world of dance, where she teaches kids. She has a massive following online. She's just more into hip-hop, so she brings a totally different expertise with her. She speaks the language of those kids as well. And they were, the kids were excited to hear that she was one of the judges because they know her, which was great. And then we have Dexter Mayfield. Dexter is a absolute more of an outfielder, but a guy, and remember that name, who's going to pop after this series because he's very, very talented. He's been a dancer, and he is magnificent in what he does and how he brings his and how he delivers his comments. So we are, and the judges amongst themselves had a lot of fun together as well. So, yeah, that couldn't have turned out better. We're super happy to have these three characters with us in our show.
In addition to that trio, you also have a newcomer in the world of hosting this type of program, Philip Lawrence, Grammy Award-winning songwriter. What was it like to sort of bring him into the fold, make him comfortable as a host?
He was the best. And Philip is unbelievable. He has never hosted something like this before. Obviously, he's a big performer, very professional. And he really, what I thought was amazing that he connects with kids on a super cool way. You know, being the MC of something like this is not just yelling or saying stuff in front of the camera. It's basically you're guiding the viewer from A to B to C to D in a good way. So as a viewer, you should be you should be hooked to that. And how he did that, in the sense that when he says something, first of all, on camera, you really listen. You're like, oh my gosh, what has he got to say now? You see the amount of fun that he has in every, you know, part of his body. He really enjoys doing it and being there. And then connecting with these kids and the parents as well, when it's getting sometimes very, very emotional. You know, there's so much emotion coming out for, you know, after these dances, after they did their performance. They trained so hard to do this for like hours and hours a day, and then we're in the studio with cameras and audience and everything, and it must happen for kids, but for parents as well. After these dances, it all comes out, and Philip is just awesome in channeling that and being respectful, but still making a connection with our contestants. So it was absolute amazed to see how Philip was in this environment. You know. Yeah, again, super fortunate that we were able to work with him, especially in his first gig as well. He loves it, so hopefully there's more, but I think he showed himself in a very, very best way. Mm-hmm. And by the way,
go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, sorry, there's one other thing. You know, when we were talking and Philip and I between, you know, shooting and everything, and he started telling me about his journey that he had as a kid performer. He was dreaming of, you know, the spotlights and everything, and with Bruno. And he said, you know, how they came to L.A. with the dream and nothing more, and it was so difficult. And he told me that story in such a raw way. And you basically realize that Philip Lawrence has come from a very, you know, he's come a long way, and he embraces basically the success he has, and he's just a thankful, how you say that? He's a humble guy in that sense. So that's another thing that I really enjoyed seeing in working with Philip Lawrence, actually. Yeah.
How much time does a contestant and adult have to learn the routine? And then when do they perform it? Is the taping session close to air date, or is it spaced out in some sort of way?
So what we decided together with CBS, we decided to basically arc it. So we want to stick with the stories. So the teams you will see tomorrow night, they start a journey with us. And only, you know, three will go to the final in 10 weeks' time and battle out for $100,000. And you see a massive transformation over the course of those weeks with the teams that actually make it from one episode, from one week to the next. You see a massive transformation because it's a very physical, demanding journey, first and foremost, for the kids and for the parents, of course, who've never danced before. Don't forget that. You ask these parents to do something which they've never done that before. We put them on a stage, and they practice for days and days until the next episode. So that's the answer to your question. And then the judges have to decide at the end of each episode, you know, basically two of the teams that has the least points, they have to battle it out in a show out. That's something I haven't seen anywhere in the way we do it, because you ask these kids, they both get a minute to give everything they got, because they literally dance for their lives, because then the judges will pick the winning team that will actually move to the next week. The losing team will leave the show out. So they know there is so much at stake. And the kids are kind of used to do this because of all the dance competitions they do. But these parents who've never danced before, you ask them to, you know, in a show out, to lay it all on the floor, to do everything out there to make them go to the next round. That is, we're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is really happening, because they were so into it. They gave everything, and they're not dancers, but they wanted it so bad to stick around, you know, for their kids, basically. That was That was just some awesome television, to be quite honest. So yeah, over the course of 10 weeks, we see the journey of basically of these teams and the connection of and the relationship these kids have with their parents.
You are hearing Reinhard Ohlemans. He's the executive producer of Come Dance With Me, the brand-new CBS series that premieres 2-hour opening tonight, and that's going to be 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on the local CBS station. Also, live or next day on Paramount Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Reinhard joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Be Televised. And if you have a question or comment on Mini Minutes with him, don't be shy. Put that finger into the phone and make it go, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up shortly, classic trivia question of the week. Stay tuned because you can win 3 wonderful prizes in play, including the new Nailed In cookbook from Netflix, if you're first with the correct answer. Reinhard, did the coronavirus pandemic, how it's been going in California, does that impact in any way the production of this?
Yeah, it was, of course, like all producers. We're not the only ones over here, but yeah, it's navigating something really, really difficult. And we produce with Freeball Productions. We produce a lot of different shows for all the buyers, from the streamers to networks to cable. I mean, our biggest show is Bar Rescue. With John Taffer, we did over 250 episodes. He's a massive, massive talent. So that's the show that we shoot out in the field. So you can imagine the precaution we take and we have to take, specifically for the past 24 months to even keep the show going. So yeah, it's not easy, but you as a producer, you're inventive. So you try to be creative and find solutions. And if you have good partners in networks, it will all work out. But yeah, it was an extra layer of complexity, that's for sure.
Mm. Was there any thought about doing the finale before a live audience and doing it live?
We thought about it. I'm happy that we didn't, in the sense that, you want to protect the kids a little bit as well. Just mm-hmm. keep in mind, it's kids, between 9 and 15 years old. So you do expose them on television, by the way, national television, as you know, so there's a massive... potentially a massive viewership and people that can tune in. So basically, first of all, we're like, how do kids, and we talked with Nick and RJ about it as well, I mean, how do kids basically react to the fact that they are judged live, basically, or live, but on television, on network television, after they did something, that meant a lot to them, how would they react? Because we did want the judges to be honest in their critiques, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. It's still very much a competition. There's still, in the end of the road, there's $100,000, which is a lot of money. So we wanted it to be real. So basically, we said, handle with respect, be honest, be authentic, be positive if you say a negative thing. So basically, that's kind of the package we gave to the judges as well, which they understand. Coming back to your question to be live, there's a world where I can see ourselves doing it. Maybe hopefully if we get to a season 2, where we might talk to our friends from CBS, say, what do you think? But specifically for the first season, I'm very, very happy how we produced it and how it turned out.
We talked earlier about the attitude of the adults. What was the attitude of the kids? And as they were learning the routines and working with their parents or their offspring, how did they try to make their siblings as comfortable as possible with learning, with the learning process?
It's interesting. I mean, obviously it starts super respectful and it's okay. I'm very, as a kid, I'm patient with my parents. But if you're going a little bit further in a competition and you're like, oh, the final is getting closer, you see the intensity growing as well. But by the way, not only from these kids, from the parents, some of the parents even wanted to win it more maybe than the kids would like to win it. So, but being so close together, I mean, the greatest quotes we got in the show, even for kids that with their parents that, you know, did not make it to the next week. You know, we gave them the last words, and many of them said, this is truly the best experience of my life I've ever had. You know, to be in something like this with my dad or my mom is something I will cherish for the rest of my life, this experience. And yeah, as a producer, you're like, yeah, that's why we make this show, to get that, and you see that it comes across. It goes really, if you would watch the show, it really shows that, yeah, like I said, the profoundness of the relationship, and through that art of dance and music, it all comes together. It's so beautiful to look at. It's truly, I've been in the business for 30 years. I come from the Netherlands originally, produced a lot of shows all over the world. But this is truly, yeah, maybe the most special project that I am part of, because of it means something, you know. And specifically, by the way, in these times, there's so much going on in the world. To bring it back to a family bond and a family dynamic with something that's positive and good, like dance, it was tremendous. And I'm hopeful that the viewers will pick that up and they will hopefully find the show. Because I think when you watch it, you're like, yeah, I want to know how this story evolves. It's a long answer of saying, I think we did a pretty good job. And I'm sorry to say that, but I'm happy with how it turned out. And by the way, we had great people working on the show, and CBS has been fantastic to work with. So it all kind of came together. Yeah.
And tomorrow night, you can see it for yourself, where Come Dance With Me will kick off. That's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time on your local CBS station. Also on Paramount Plus, either live or next day, depending on where you are. Paramount Plus available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the promo online, go to cbs.com or www.paramountplus.com. That's cbs.com.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and thanks for taking the time for me to kind of explain what we're doing. But I really appreciate it, and I hope you like the show as much as we have, and we love it.
I've seen the promos right now. I think it's going to be magical for a lot of people. And as somebody who's a supporter of Dancing Classrooms here in New York, which is an organization where kids in the public schools learn dancing and learn how to be with each other, it's great to see that can happen also between small fry youngsters and their parents and offspring. It's a dynamite thing to do. So congratulations on doing it, and all the very best, Ryan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Simon. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Enjoy the weekend. Reinhard Altman from Los Angeles joining us live on Tomorrow Be Televised. More of our program coming up, because right now we've got time for our classic trivia question of the week. Stand by, because you could be our latest winner. If you do, we have three prizes in store for you. We've got the new Nailed It cookbook from Netflix. We have the 20th anniversary Blues Clues notepad from Nickelodeon. And from PBS and BYU TV, the 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir DVD with bonus material from the special that ran in both places last December. Here's the question. If you know the answer, email me. So here's the question. What 1970s television series featured two Academy Award-winning actors in the same role? What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors, one for Best Actor, one for Best Supporting Actor, play the same role? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, all three prizes are yours. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning, and if need be, through the weekend on Facebook. That's Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Facebook on Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. When we come back, we will have the co-authors of a new book that's all about Inside Hollywood's furious multi-billion-dollar battle to take down Netflix. It's called Binge Time. You meet the co-authors, two of the best journalists covering the world of TV, Dawn Chmielewski from Los Angeles, Daniel Hayes from New York. They'll be both with us after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. You get it, reach over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. For Kings in the Morning, Joy, Kate, Jay King, and crew, they got got a lot of great music, news, trivia, all sorts of wonderful information and conversation for you. Kings of the Morning, led by Jay King himself, tomorrow and every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best VTR coming your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of this 90-minute special edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Tomorrow will be televised. And welcome to those just joining us at the top of the hour from wherever you are. Some of them are with you live from New York. It is 81 degrees at the top of this hour. Still very, very sunny here in the Big Apple. However, we are expecting possibly some rain, downpours, thunderstorms over the next few hours. But I have to tell you, by far, this is the warmest day of the year here in NYC. And we have two wonderful guests coming away in the half hour ahead, and I'm happy you're joining us for that. All you got to do to be with them, give us a call. Here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, use our chat room. It's open for you right now. It's SimonApple04. Find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect us using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions on the people live with you. We are awaiting our two journalist guests who have put together a brand-new wonderful book called Binge Times. I believe it's published by HarperCollins. And we're going to offer it down the road, not too far down the road, as a classic trivia prize. So as soon as we get our journalists, Dawn Chmielewski and Dade Hayes. Dawn is with Reuters. Dade Hayes, formerly Broadcasting Cable. He's now one of the key people at Deadline Hollywood Daily. They're the co-authors of the book. They will join us ASAP. As you know, we have a big story that both of them, I believe, are working on. That's Twitter, the situation with Elon Musk, who has made a $54 share offer for all of Twitter. I believe that the Twitter board is meeting as we speak. They're supposed to have a meeting with their employees about an hour from now, and we'll see what happens. So that may impact getting our guests on time. So we're waiting for them. As soon as they see they're ready to go, we will put them on. In the meantime, let's give you, for those who just joined us, the classic trivia question again. And the question is this. What 1970s television series featured two Academy Award-winning actors, one, by the way, who won for Best Actor, one who won for Best Supporting Actor a decade or so later. Which 1970s TV series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win our three prizes in play. The new Nailed It cookbook, Baking Challenges the Rest of by Netflix, the 20th anniversary DVD of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir, the special that premiered last December on PBS and BYU TV with bonus material on the DVD, and the 20th anniversary Nickelodeon Blues Clues notepad. So if you're first with the correct answer, you win all three. All you have to do is email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. However you want to play in, do so and play in to win. And all, of course, the very best. If we do get a chance before the end of our show today, the bottom of the hour, we'll repeat the question one more time. Don't forget, we will be with you tomorrow, Good Friday, almost start of Passover. And that's going to be at a special time, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. That's 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. We're going to have a pair of Davids for you, and they're both involved in the new Tubi original movie, Titanic 666. Yes, it's about the contemporary version of that famed luxury liner, and rather than face a disaster with an iceberg, they have a different kind, more sinister disaster in store for them. We'll have executive producer David Romani and producer David Michael Latt. They will both be with us live at our special time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 Pacific, right here. Special half hour of tomorrow will be televised. Incidentally, coming up late this afternoon, early evening, very special event coming back here in New York after several years away because it was virtual or it didn't happen because of the coronavirus pandemic. I'm talking about Broadcasting Cable Magazine's annual Hall of Fame. It's a marvelous, marvelous event. I've been there before. It takes place tonight at the Ziegfeld Ballroom, formerly the Ziegfeld Theater in Midtown Manhattan. A lot of great people are going to be getting inducted, including somebody who was a guest with us a few months ago, Curtis Simons, the former BET and ESPN executive, and now the head of HBCU Go, which earlier this year was bought by Byron Allen through his Allen Media Group. He'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing him in person. Other people there, too. Brandon Burgess, the former head of Ion Media Networks. Hannah Storm, I believe, is one of the hosts from ESPN SportsCenter. And other great people as well. Congratulations to all of the winners being inducted tonight in Broadcasting Cable's Hall of Fame. And it's great to see BNC Magazine come back and put this event together in person at the Ziegfeld Ballroom in Midtown Manhattan. All right. I believe we have joining us now one of, at least, maybe both of, the co-authors of a brand new book. It's called Binge Time, Inside Hollywood's Furious Multi-Billion Dollar Battle to Take Down Netflix. Joining us live, either from New York, is Dade Hayes, currently one of the key editors of Deadline Hollywood Daily, and from Los Angeles, from Reuters, Dawn Chalisky. Dawn and Dade, welcome in.
I'm here. How's it going?
It is fine. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for making the time, giving your schedule. Let's talk about binge time. How do you define binge time?
So it's this this manic period that we've just passed through in the media world, in which all of the major media companies have attempted to catch up to the momentum that was created by Netflix and the appetite for this sort of endless consumer appetite for content.
Are you and Dade finding, when you did this book, that the appetite is huge and growing? Is it starting to wane? Is it pretty much a flat line? Where do you see the appetite for Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and all the plus services, HBO Max, Peacock, et cetera?
So, I think that we are seeing – we've gone through an interesting period. So during the pandemic in particular, we saw a tremendous surge in growth of these streaming platforms. As all of us were sort of trapped in our homes and in the gathering gloom, many people tried streaming services for the first time. And we saw a tremendous adoption, not only of established players like Netflix, but also of newcomers like the Walt Disney Company's Disney Plus streaming service. And so that growth took off like a rocket ship. And we have seen in recent months sort of a slowing of growth, at least in the domestic market, at least in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. How did you and Dade come together, given that you're in L.A., Dade's in New York, I see him regularly on the beat. How did you two get together and put this book together?
So Dave and I worked together in the Hollywood Trade publication Deadline. He and I had spent some time collaborating on some of these broad media stories, and we began having a conversation about this seminal moment that we were entering. It appeared that we were going through this unprecedented period of transition in the media industry as it moved from its traditional and very lucrative platforms, you know, the pay TV, cable TV, and satellite TV, to this new world of streaming. And we thought we had this rare opportunity to capture that transition as all of the major media companies remade themselves in the likeness of Netflix.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think they're trying, whether it's Hulu, whether it's Disney Plus, whether it's HBO Max, whether it's Peacock, Paramount Plus, as well as all these, let's also consider all these multi-channel bundles that have come on as well, that go through smart TV sets and smart devices. Why do you think everybody is battling for position here to knock out Netflix?
Well, I think that sort of the consumer adoption is irrefutable. We've seen over recent years that the cable world, the number of cable subscribers in the U.S. has declined sort of year over year. It used to be at 90 plus million subscribers in the U.S., and we've come down substantially from that. And the number of subscribers are leaving sort of year over year. And we also have a generation of viewers who may never subscribe to cable or satellite TV like their parents did. So the inflection point, It was a clear inflection point. The trend lines were clear. There were some advantages to the consumer, you know, the ability to direct when they watch a TV show or a movie, and how often, you know, how they watched it, if they watched it once a week or if they watched it, you know, in a giant, you know, Lay's potato chip like binge. So it seemed that that the transition was clear, and that the consumers had already embraced this, and so, you know, so the moment is upon us.
You are hearing Dawn Chmielewski. She is one of the co-authors with Dade Hayes of Binge Times, the brand new book about Hollywood's furious, and it is a furious, multi-billion-dollar battle to take down Netflix. The book is now available. You can get it at Amazon.com, HarperCollins.com, other places as well. Dawn joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us, too. Simon Adam with you live from where Dade usually is based, here in Big Apple, NYC, where it is now 81 degrees at the top of the hour. We are expecting, even though it's been sunny in, I would say, record warmth. At one point, it was 84 degrees about an hour ago. We are expecting some rain to pop in from the Midwest the next few hours, and then gorgeous holiday weekend ahead. Request your comment for Dawn, and I hope Dave will join us shortly. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, we have a special Good Friday edition coming your way tomorrow afternoon at a special time, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. Joining us, the pair of Davids behind the brand-new Tubi made-for-TV movie Titanic 666, executive producer David Rawi and producer David Michael Lapp. Special edition coming your way, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Dawn, was this an easy sell for you and Dave to convince the publisher to go ahead and let you write this?
Absolutely not. And Dave will be joining us here shortly. We actually had a rather healthy number of publishers who were interested in this book and were bidding for it. Everyone recognized what we thought was interesting, that this is an opportunity to catch a transition, sort of capture it in amber, if you will. Dade and I had this rare opportunity to be on the in the front rows, if you will, to observe the transition and to record it. And you know, obviously, this changes are still happening, even though the book will be published next week. We've seen one major media company form since the writing of our book. There's Warner Brothers Discovery, this newly constituted, very large pure play media company that was formed, which will be drawing together its resources to try to compete more fulsomely with Netflix. So this is a story that continues even though the book is out into the world.
And as Dawn just said, joining us live now from here in New York is the other co-author of Binge Times, known him for a long time, currently with Deadline Hollywood Daily, Dade Hayes. Hi, Dade.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having us. Apologies for being a little tardy, but Dawn got us
no
started.
No problem. Good to have you aboard. Dade, for you, what was the most fascinating thing with Dawn about putting this book together?
You know, there were so many things. I mean, Dawn brought a lot of amazing context and understanding of the tech world, and I thought that was absolutely fascinating to really take the story from the absolute advent of broadband internet in the 1990s through to the creation of Hulu, and you have Netflix streaming, you have Amazon getting in the streaming game in the late 2000s. That kind of, to me, altered my perspective as we went to talk to people. It just added so many different dimensions. It was no longer a contemporary conversation. It was kind of, you know, coming out of, you know, 2 to 3 decades of strategic thinking. Because I really got a lot out of that.
Hmm. Dawn, how much credit do you think the smart TV set and the smart TV device should get in why we are at this era of television? Because it seems that the capability and the capacity of these sets to constantly evolve, to offer more channels, that this is behind Netflix making it, behind all these other mega content services, whether it is Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, all the Plus services, and whether it is all these other services that are finding from all sorts of players, including players of color, that are getting on both these services and also on these expanding smart TV bundles, whether it's Philo TV, Kubo, Zumo, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, as Dade alluded to just moments ago, the streaming revolution sort of builds upon all these technological milestones that have been sort of laid in place over the last couple of decades. So advances in video compression that made it possible, advances, you know, gains in internet speeds that were made possible by, you know, sort of increasing processing power, and the advent of cloud computing, so the ability to store, to have computing resources distributed, all of that is sort of harnessed to deliver this seamless experience in the home. And I think, you know, I think the smart TV is from the consumer electronics standpoint, sort of a frictionless way to experience video. In years past, I would attach other devices to my TV so that I could stream Netflix or other services, Amazon, for instance. But now the consumer merely has to, you know, plug in the set, connect it to the internet, and they can have that experience without having other devices connected. So this journey is made much easier by the advent of technology. And as you mentioned, the fact that we've got this wealth of streamings, literally hundreds of streaming services coming into our home, that opens the door to all sorts of creators, people, anyone with an idea, who can produce content, and sort of the opportunities are broader, and there are fewer barriers to entry for those with the ambition to create content, to create series or films.
And Dave, one way it seems that this technology and these mega content servers are impacting how we watch television is that it has had an impact on linear broadcast TV. As we just showed or just presented with Come Dance With Me, with the executive producer of that program on CBS, which is running tomorrow night, it's also running the same night or the next day on Paramount Plus. Every single NBC show is now running on Peacock, either live or next day. Every ABC program is running on Hulu or Disney Plus down the road. And every Fox show on Tubi the next day and so forth. What does that signify about where we're going with television and particularly where we're going with broadcast TV?
Well, I do think it's headed to the cloud. I really think, I mean, this has been the argument of Anthony Wood, Reed Hastings, a lot of the digital, pioneers who have really kind of set the course for streaming, is that they always felt that it was going to be headed, the television would head to the internet. Now, the counterbalance to that is live sports, despite Amazon, despite Apple, despite a few, nibbling at the edges. Live sports remains a very, very important piece of real estate that is tied to the broadcast bundle. But I think it just basically means you can't have one boat. These companies need multiple boats, multiple ships in their flotilla to kind of get them where they need to go. They can't be one or the other. And it's interesting you started off mentioning CBS because, you've covered this for quite a while, and I've been around for a bunch of upfronts, and it's wild to think that it's happening even at the most watched broadcast network. I mean, think of their strategy for so long; it was very much driving to that tune in on the broadcast network, no more.
Mm-hmm. And Dawn, what does it say about the fact that, for example, in the Winter Olympics that we just had, that NBC had the worst ratings ever? USA Network, et cetera, had ratings. Peacock seemed to do okay. And then, of course, we had the case with the Oscars where you get a sense behind the scenes that one of the reasons for Dancing with the Stars going to Disney Plus is basically giving a warning to the Oscar people saying, hey, look, Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, you screw up like you did the last 2 years, this year and last year. You do it again next year, we're going to take you off. We're going to put you only on Hulu, or we're going to make sure, or maybe you have to go to Netflix or somebody else to be on the air.
Yeah, I think certainly, as Dave mentioned, and studies have shown, the only thing drawing people to TV is live sports, live programming, so live sports and news. That is the most compelling content that's on TV. I think that the Beijing Olympics was confronted by a number of challenges. The first of them is this idea that we already sort of knew the outcome of these interesting events, hours ahead because of the time zone difference. We don't live in a world where audiences are waiting for prime time to experience a sporting event. that happened hours ago and not know what the outcome is. I mean, social media has made it possible for us to know the outcome immediately. So I think that that was one of the reasons that this rating, you know, these Olympics were not as popular as some of its predecessors. Also, you know, NBC recognizes that its audience has changed. And so it packaged the programming in different ways. It made it available on cable networks, different types of programming available on NBC's cable nets. They also reorganized some of the programming for streaming so that people who just wanted to watch figure skating, for example, or who just wanted to watch curling could go to a button on Peacock and find it. So, I mean, I think that the audience was much more fragmented, and there were certainly some challenges that confronted the Winter Olympics, which are historically a lower-rated show than its summer, the summer version. So lots of challenges. The audience is changing, and networks are evolving to reflect that.
Dade, we are getting ready for the New Fronts, which the format was announced earlier today, and we have the upfront events coming up in mid-May, and you get a sense that there are so many storylines that are going to impact TV's future. And with a sort of a viewer perspective in mind, what are sort of the storylines you're looking at that are going to be very important that will unfold, let's say, in the first few weeks of May?
Oh, it's a fascinating time. It'll be a really it will be quite a lens on the industry the month of May because, you know, the new fronts really are signaling that, first of all, the wind is at the back of anybody selling ads in the digital arena. I mean, depending on who you trust for estimates, you know, the year-to-year increase in 2021 was, you know, anywhere from 25 to 35%, which is remarkable. And streaming is a big part of that. And so, you have more players. So you have, you know, longtime ad-supported networks, Crackle, Roku Channel, you know, Pluto, Tubi, several others. But then you've got this new batch. You've got HBO Max with an ad-supported tier. You've got Disney announcing that Disney Plus will have an ad tier. So there's just more supply and more interest from buyers in having a presence in streaming. The experience, while I would argue, I think Don would agree, isn't exactly seamless, isn't exactly elegant. It is something navigable, and I think for the vast majority of viewers, they're clearly voting with their feet. They're making the trade-off. You know, Hulu, for example, gets, you know, two-thirds of its subscribers, or actually closer to 80% of their subscribers from the ad-supported tier as opposed to the ad-free version of Hulu. So it is a workable format, and there's both supply and demand. So this arena of the upfronts, which is really when buyers and sellers get together, and by the way, the first time they've done so in person in 3 years, I think it should be a really high-energy moment. Add to the mix, you know, Warner Discovery coming together, doing their first joint upfront since the merger. You know, they're going to be promoting HBO Max and also Discovery Plus, soon to be one service. So I expect a lot of activity and a lot of it was interesting. You and I saw each other, Simon, at the AMC Networks upfront. Very little mention of streaming, even though they have a very vital and growing collection of niche streaming services. But you didn't really hear much about that during the course of the evening. I found that really interesting. But in this next few weeks, it's going to be full tilt sales pitches going on for streaming ads.
Yeah. And Dawn, to wrap up with you, some of the storylines I'm looking at, obviously you mentioned one is Warner Bros. Discovery and how they position themselves with HBO Max and Discovery Plus, and yes, CNN Plus also, but also interactivity. Netflix looks like it's bouncing back with interactivity. I'm yet to see whether Disney Plus or Apple TV Plus or others will do interactive programming. But also another thing I'm looking at is, particularly with the new fronts, first week of May, is that I think we're going to see Vizio, Samsung, Roku, LG, the smart TV set and device makers really make the complete transition from not only being content aggregators or channel aggregators, but channel creators and show creators. Vizio, in an event that took place virtually a couple days ago this week, suggested they've got some announcements. There may be a big announcement from Samsung. And Roku, of course, is now very much a TV series and movie player.
Absolutely. The world is changing. I wonder if your listeners think that what the world needs at this moment is more content. I feel like we're really awash with choices, right, Dave? I think the development I'm eagerly anticipating is when I'm able to more easily sort of navigate my choices, when there's more intelligence in the devices that we use that will help me to find what I truly would like to watch and be really great about making recommendations. And I think you're also right, Simon, in observing that companies like Netflix are beginning to look at the other types of entertainment that are vying with Netflix for the consumer's leisure time. And so it's investing in games, in mobile games, and interactive games on interactive experiences on the television set. I mean, when Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, talks, you know, has in past earnings, remarks that he sees one of his chief competitors as being Fortnite. And so Netflix is looking at the amount of time consumers are spending their total entertainment time and realizes that the world is larger than just films and series.
Absolutely. And don't forget, they're also in the video game business in part because I'm sure that the game developers they're working with, I'm sure they're thinking in the back of their minds, hey, there's some IP that we can use to make a television series, live action or animated. We'll see what happens in the months ahead with that. Plus, they have the interactive game Trivia Quest. It just started April 1st. I understand it's doing pretty good with some more interactive stuff to follow. The book again is called Binge Time, Inside Hollywood's Furious Multi-Billion-Dollar Battle to Take Down Netflix. It will be published next week. You can get it through HarperCollins.com, Amazon.com, other places, and we will offer it after it's published as a classic trivia prize. Dawn, Dade, thank you both very, very much. We got to do this again in a few months and maybe make it an hour because we just scratched the surface of what you folks are covering.
Thank you so much, Simon. We really appreciate it.
You got it, Dawn, Dale. Thanks so much. Take care. Enjoy the week and the weekend.
All right.
You too.
And once again, the book is called Binge Times. Again, tomorrow we will be with you at 5:30 p.m., 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Joining us will be the Davids from the new to-be made-for-TV movie Titanic. 666. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast coming up shortly on all of our podcast sites. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our guest today? And what do you think about TV's future in these binge times? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. We do respond to what you have to say because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. Not as those of Blog Talk Radio or the services program. Andy Toews, BeachHouse General Manager, Jay Sonberg, Head of Content. Tomorrow's Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace from Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. But Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Thanks to all of our guests. We're back tomorrow, special time, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. You know where? Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates. Whatever you're listening now and then, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Find out your medical situation. Find about the special treatments and pills that are available to you right now as an alternative. And then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and, of course, stay tuned.